it as a trial, when I think of it as a trial, then I can respond to it in a biblical way, because the Bible talks about how to respond in a trial. And I think that connection is important to make, because probably in our thoughts is this idea of, well, what do I do with COVID-19? The Bible doesn't tell me anything about COVID-19, unless you're looking for references to pestilence and matters like that. Well, it doesn't talk about it specifically, but it does talk about trials. So you can see, if I connect it to trials, that will immediately give me a source, give me a way to enter God's word and to find out what he wants me to do. I think what he wants us to do is realize that he's at work. He's in control, obviously. That's another aspect. He's sovereign, working these things to his end. But part of the things he's sovereign over is to work these trials and the product of the trials into my life. And so we're going to look at that tonight in something I'm calling the potential spiritual benefit of trials and adversity. And I use the word potential purposely because simply getting through a trial or surviving it does not necessarily bring God's work. For that, I need to respond to the trial in a biblical way, so that God can do his work in my life, informing me, shaping me, bringing about more Christ-likeness, etc. And that's the topic that I want to share with you this evening. So the potential spiritual benefit of trials and adversities continues with this. God can use trials and adversities in my life in a number of ways. Number one, he can prune my life of things that are harmful to me or that will prevent the production of more fruit. If you have your Bibles out, John chapter 15 and verse 2 tells us just that. And you get the sense, you have every aspect of this point in it. In John 15 verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That's the idea of pruning. He purgeth it that it might bring forth more fruit. So at times God takes things providentially, sovereignly, in his control, and he uses that to prune me, not to harm me or to punish me in any way, but so that I can bring forth more fruit. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the chastening that God brings into a believer's life because he loves us. And one of the things that chastening does, it's not pleasant, it can bring hardship, but chastening is something that brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in my life. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. I think you can tie that to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where we run the race, laying aside weights and sins that so easily besets us. It's within God's power and within his work that he takes and he cuts off weights. He cuts off opportunities to sin that are slowing us down, causing us to stumble, that easily beset us. So in some ways, these trials that he allows and directs in my life have this pruning effect so that I can bring forth more fruit in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, so that I can run the race better, unencumbered, unhindered. And there's this idea that this is all in God's plan of what he does with trials in my life. It's very possible that some of the results and some of the things that we are now are forced to do because of the COVID-19 virus, that they are pruning us, causing us to lay aside some things that were hindering us from bearing more fruit. Secondly, you can see on the study sheet and on the screen that there is a way that God takes trials and he purifies me, like gold is purified with fire. He burns off the dross. That's what happens when you heat up gold to a certain temperature. The impurities basically burn away to purify the gold. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, we'll talk about that idea. But I think the dross, the what gets burned away, are those impurities that are wasteful, that are worthless in my life. And so God can take trials and he can purify me through those trials. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. I guess I didn't read that, but if you put your eyes on that, it says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. So it purifies me with trials. Thirdly, what God can do is he can produce and develop Christ-like character in me. I have two references for you. The first is from Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, we see a number of things. Christ-like character. He's building character in me. That's something we would note, we easily recognize that God is building and shaping my character through the things that he allows in my life. Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, those things that press in upon us, trials, tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God can develop in me patience. Some of the things with the COVID-19 develop in us patience. That patience is a spiritual fortitude that bears up and is not moved by pressures and temptations, but is made even stronger by it. I stand straight. I stand up. I'm not moved. I'm patient. I endure under the pressures that are brought my way. Unmoved. We should not collapse under the pressures of the COVID-19. We should stand strong. God can develop that character in us. When we stand against that pressure, when we stand fast and hold firm, then really what it does is it develops in us strength that is necessary to bear patiently under even more pressures that come our way. He builds that kind of character in my life. Romans chapter 5, verse 4 says, and patience brings experience. Experience, I think, is tested character. The experiences of going through testing victoriously develop the kind of character in me that enables me to face other trials in the same way, with the same character trait about me. Might face have to face them in different ways, but that character of experience strengthens me in the midst of trial. And then it says in verse 5, and hope, excuse me, in verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. There's this idea of a favorable expectation. We have a hopefulness that God is going to do things in my life. I have a hopefulness in my future, the things that he has promised me. I can hope in these things, even though I don't see them, because God has demonstrated them as a surety in his written word for me. So it develops this kind of character. I have patience, experience, hope. The second reference is more familiar to us in James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, in verses 3 through 8, let me just read a few of this. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's that same idea of patience. It worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And of course, that reference to asking for wisdom, that's follows up in that. But if you look, follow the sheet, one of the things that trials does into me is it brings me to perfection, to a mature state. So it's the proper goal. It's what God wants me. He wants maturity in my life. He does that through trials. Without trials, I don't think that's going to happen. I obviously can't, I won't have that developed in my life. He wants me to be entire, that is whole or complete, lacking no parts, and then wanting nothing. Literally, in nothing left behind, all the parts are present, balanced, or in their right proportion. These are character traits that God brings into my life through trials. I understand, and I'll say it probably several times in this time, is that COVID-19 has really been somewhat of an annoyance, somewhat of a trial, obviously, but it's brought changes that are frustrating and difficult to bear. But I think our mind needs to be like the psalmist who said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes," Psalm 119, verse 71. But the idea is that these are good things because God brings me trials. They potentially can have this work in my life, prune me, purify me, produce character within me. These are good things, things that I ought to rejoice in when I think about them. Fourthly, the thing that God can reveal to us things through trials. And I've divided this in two ways. And if you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll tell you the first one is that God can reveal himself to me. Right? In other words, I can see more of the character of God as I think about the trials that I am going through. I put it this way in your sheet, God can reveal himself to us. There are things about God that we cannot learn fully except by experience. For example, I can know that God is the God of comfort. I can know that with my mind, mentally, but I cannot fully know it until God's comfort becomes real to me, till I have been comforted with the comfort that he brings. I'll use this verse again shortly, but the idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's the God of comfort. How do I know that? Well, verse 4 says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." In other words, he works the reality of comfort. I know that in my life because he comforts me in the time of trial and tribulation. And so we see that he reveals himself, his mercies. I think he can reveal his love. I think there's all sorts of character traits that God can reveal to us as we respond to him in trial, that we can experience ourselves. He reveals himself to us in ways that in trials that he cannot really do in any other way, that we will not know fully unless we go through the trial. Then he can also reveal us to ourselves. This is one that probably deserves more attention in my life, your life, but there are things that trials can do to reveal to me who I really am, my weaknesses, my deficiencies, my sins, my needs. When I go through a trial, a time of testing, a time of affliction or suffering, it may show me how much I lack in my faith, how much I lack in my Bible intake, in my prayer life. It can reveal all sorts of things like that in my life. And I think it's important for me to consider what trials reveal. Trials are testings. Part of what testing does, we would know the reference, it is we can test something to see what it's made out of. I think trials can test me to see what I'm made out of when it comes to even the COVID-19. Show me some things I need to bring before God, maybe confess, seek his help in making the changes. Could be some of the reason why God brings trials into my life. Not saying the reason for this particular trial, but the reason I have trials in general is that God can reveal things to me that maybe I'm not seeing any other way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to open your Bibles or turn to you that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God can draw me into fellowship with Christ through the trial. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is this occasion when the Apostle Paul is talking about his thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A lot of that's there's a fullness to that particular passage and what it's doing in the Apostle Paul. Shows you his humility, even though he's received all of this revelation. And basically said, God allowed this, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, he's allowed it so that he would realize that his grace, God's grace, was sufficient. But I love two aspects of this. When I think of that, is that, and it's really the second one listed on your study sheet, but God can take me beyond myself, bring me to the end of myself, what I'm able to bear, what I'm able to handle, so that I turn to Christ. That's what Paul did. He asked God to take this away. And God said, no. He says, but I will give you my grace to stand in the midst of it, to live with these thorns in the flesh. But I think the trial brought him to the place where he sought God about this. I wonder if in our prayer life, if it we experience trials or hardship, if it's bringing us to the place where that's what we're praying for, that's what we're praying about. And I think that needs to be recognize the trials draw me into fellowship with Christ. And actually, the first thing I mentioned on your study sheet is that trials can increase the loudness of Christ's knocking. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Then he meant, hear my voice and open the door. I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. We recognize that there's this fellowship that Christ wants to have with us. And he knocks. Think of it this way. Trials increase the loudness of that knocking so that I can say, boy, maybe Christ is on the outside of my life. That's one of the things that we would maybe be revealed in the midst of trial, that we're trying to do it on our own and we've got Christ outside of our life. I think the harder the trial becomes, the louder his knocking becomes, so that I can respond and restore my fellowship with him and the vibrancy of the closeness of my walk with him. And the sixth thing I want to share with you is I think trials can sharpen my ministry to others. that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God comforts us so that we can comfort others, minister to others in that time of trial. So it's a good thing that I go through trial, because one of the things it does is it sharpens me in my ministry to others. And in Luke chapter 22, the other reference I give you there, it's the account of where Peter's told that he's going to deny Christ. Of course, Peter responds to that in a particular way. And Jesus basically says to him, he says, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Sifting is a tossing up, and it's a crushing. It's a removal of all sorts of debris and useless parts of the grain. But he desires to sift you like wheat. But he says, when thou art restored, when brought back to the place you ought to be, after you go through that trial, God says, then strengthen my brethren, strengthen your brethren. And so that's what God can do through trials, as he works them into your life. He can strengthen you to help strengthen others as they go through trials. He sharpens my ministry. In Philippians chapter 2, our next reference, another thing God can do through trials and increase the intensity of my light and the saltiness of my salt. Part of that would be the removal of impurities with salt. But the idea is in 1 Peter, and it says in chapter 3, verse 15, that I ought to be ready to give answer to anyone who asks of the hope that's within me. And so, you know, how will we answer? I think that's part of our testimony that we have. Philippians chapter 2, the part I want to share with you in verse 14, it's this: do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says, with the instruction to do all things without grumbling or murmuring and disputings, arguing. And when we do that, he says that I think the idea is that, coupled with the next verse, is that he increases the intensity of my light, in which I shine as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. I think it's something that we ought to consider, is we can stand out more if we respond biblically to a trial. Not like the world responds. They grumble and complain. They murmur. They dispute. They like to bring up conspiracies. They like to revel in political intrigue and all sorts of things like that. How much brighter would our light be? How much salty would our salt be if we respond in a biblical way to these matters? We would stand out so that we can share Christ with this, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, meaning the world in which we function. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last one I'm going to share with you, there's this idea of God produces eternal reward in us. Eternal reward, familiar, because I'm sure you've heard this before, even rest in this, claim this type of a promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. COVID-19, I think we're going on about 4 weeks now of missing church. It's affected us for a length of time. Really, the end is uncertain. The timetable of the end is uncertain. But I'm telling you, in God's scheme of things, it is a moment. And what he does is he works the affliction of the moment into an eternal weight of glory. And so there are eternal rewards to responding to trials in a right way. If you don't respond to trials biblically, you say, well, isn't there a weight of glory for that? No weight of glory. That's going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. But responding biblically enables us to receive this eternal weight of glory. You say, what is that? I don't know. But I know we want it. I know it's something that we want to have. So trials have the potential of doing those things in my life. But if you allow me just to give you several other considerations to close out this Wednesday night time together, and that is this: the reality of my finiteness is that I may not know what God is doing or all that God is doing through the trial. So here's COVID-19. That's a particular trial. You might have aspects of that you are wrestling with in your life. It might be financial, might be isolation, might be health. It might be all sorts of combinations of things. You say, well, what is God trying to do with that in my life? I don't know. I know what he can do, but I may not know what he's doing in a particular trial, and I may not know all that he's doing in a particular trial. So let me give you four thoughts on that for you to think on as you let this just ruminate in your mind, and you allow it to take it in, not let these words drop to the ground. Number one, I don't need to know the precise purpose in order to acknowledge and thank God that he has a purpose. In other words, I don't need to know what it is in order to say thank you, God, because I know you're working something into my life. I don't need to know the specific purpose, what he's exactly trying to do, just that he's doing it. So I can be thankful in all things like I'm commanded to bring. Secondly, it is not necessary for me to know the precise purpose in order for me to respond or behave correctly, that is righteously or biblically, in the midst of a trial. My knowledge or lack of knowledge does not affect my need to obey. In other words, I don't have to know what God's doing in my life to obey what he wants me to do in the midst of trial. I don't have to have that information. Deuteronomy 29:29, I put that reference down there, talks about the idea that God hasn't revealed to me everything. The hidden things belong to him. There are things that he hasn't revealed. But what he has revealed are enough for me to follow him, to obey him. And so I don't have to figure it out. Matter of fact, I'm never commanded to figure it out. I'm commanded to follow him, to obey him, to respond to the trial in a biblical way. And I don't see any references to try to figure out exactly what God is doing with the trial that's happening in my life. Lots of speculation, sometimes fun to think about what God is doing, but let's rest on the fact that he's doing something, and it's enough for me to thank him, and it's enough for me to obey him. And then thirdly, not knowing God's purpose should not delay my obedience. Again, it goes in with the idea of I've never been commanded to try to figure it out. But you say, well, I'm going to wait till I figure it out, then I'll do this. So, no, I can obey him without knowing. And then fourthly, if I obey and walk with the Lord more closely, then I can have the confidence that whatever God's purpose is for the trial, it will be worked into my life. So I have this faith, this trust, that even though I do not know, remember, faith operates in the realm of what I cannot see. Even though I do not know what the specific purpose is, I trust him that he's going to do his work in me. All sorts of promises attached with that. But we need to see this time with all of its difficulties, all of the hardships, all of the changes that it's brought. We need to see this time as having the potential for me to grow spiritually and potential for God to do all of these things in my life. May indeed God do some great things so that maybe sometime in the future, I'm not sure how far, that we can look back and we can say, it is good for us that we were afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Good night, everybody. We should pray together, shouldn't we? Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, indeed, I pray that you would work this into our lives. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to follow you, obey you in the midst of this trial. Lord, prevent us, hold us back from trying to figure everything out, and just rest in who you are. Lord, I'm thankful that you do these things through trials in my life. Part of me wants to say, bring it on. Other parts, Lord, I want to say, help me to stand up in the midst of it. But Lord, do your perfect work and bring us that confidence that you are going to do just that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.